Revelation chapter 3, we're going to be talking about this question, and the question is, are you stagnant? The word stagnant means not flowing in a current or stream, not advancing or developing, stale. Stale means tasteless, impaired in vigor or effectiveness, dull, canned, cardboard. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah.
Spiritually?
Yes.
The truth is, all of us have. Some of us might, even now. So what we're talking about is our walk with Jesus. It's easy to get distracted and to lose focus and to forget our purpose. This comes natural because our flesh leans in that direction. And on top of that, Satan loves to add to that distraction and create his own distraction.
Right.
It's normally not a quick, sharp move in the wrong direction. It's normally a slow, gradual, tapering process.
Yeah.
So that we don't recognize that it's happening. That works, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And this path that we travel down is a path taking us away from the best, headed for the good.
Yeah.
In other words, we are doing good when we ought to be doing best.
So true.
That's when good becomes the enemy of the best.
That's right.
That's when good becomes sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to bite sometimes.
Yeah.
Hard to chew on. That something that we thought was good is actually sin. It wasn't sin for Jesus to turn the rocks into food. But it was at that moment.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been sin for Jesus to jump off the top of that building. He knew what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that there's plenty of angels to catch him. That wouldn't have been sin, but it was.
Mm.
When good is substituted for the best, it becomes the enemy of the best. We're talking about being stagnant. This is important because we all get there at times.
Yeah.
And here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." It's talking about Jesus. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and blind, and naked." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for bringing us to this particular passage tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me to relay your message accurately to your people. This is important. Your word is important. Lord, help us to absorb what you have for us. Lord, help us to put it into action. Help us to draw close to you because of what we learned tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This church, this group of believers had at one time been on fire for God. But now, they're not. And they are lukewarm. They are stagnant.
Yeah.
They are complacent. And so the question is, what happened? This is important for us to see, because if we don't see it, we're not going to see it in ourselves.
Right.
This church was still having church.
Right.
I'm sure many of them were still doing the same things they were supposed to be doing and things that they had been doing all along. I'm sure that many of them were still tithing. I'm sure many of them were still cleaning. I'm sure many of them were teaching Sunday school, if they had that back then. Probably didn't, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They were still busy about God's work. They were still likely singing during the song service.
Yeah.
While their mind was on something else. They were stagnant. They were not advancing. They were not developing. And if anything, they were shriveling up spiritually. This is not a good place to be. God is not happy with us in that predicament.
Amen.
That's important, because there are many people today, many Christians today, that are going to tell you that God is never unhappy with you. Your picture is on His refrigerator door. Look at verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Does that make you think He's happy with them or unhappy?
Unhappy.
When you get something in your mouth, and I have many times, that I don't like, it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And it ain't because I liked it. It's because I didn't. Jesus didn't like what they were doing. He was not happy with them. He is not happy with you or I when we get stagnant either.
That's right.
Judgment from God Almighty is headed towards us when we get stagnant. If you look in verse 17... I'm sorry. Verse 16 again. He says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will bless thee.
No.
No, that's not what he said. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That indicates something bad.
Right.
Something painful. It indicates consequences for our actions. Judgment from God Almighty because of sin. It is a sin to become stagnant.
Yes.
We may not want to call it that. We would rather call it lackadaisical or off the beaten path or some other term that doesn't require us to deal with it.
That's right.
But when we call it what it is, then we have to deal with it. It is sin. So how can I tell if I have gotten stagnant? Sometimes we can tell because of where it has taken us. But we really don't want to wait till we get there to make a change.
Amen.
Because sometimes we have already made some decisions that are irreversible.
That's right.
It's better to detect this problem early. So how can I tell if I am stagnant? Number one, you view Bible reading as a box to check off. You may not say that. You may not consciously even think that. But you read it quickly, and when you're done reading it, that's the last time you thought about it until the next day when you pick it up again. That is a box to check off. You don't really enjoy it. You seldom get much from it. In fact, if you skip this obligation as we see it, from time to time, there's always a good reason for it, seemingly. If that's the case, you're probably stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably already going down the wrong road. Number two, your prayer time is plastic. Memorized and short. You try to throw it in here or there as part of your regular schedule.
Right.
That is important. Mm. You're more concerned with getting through it than you are getting through to God. Amen. Prayer is trying to attain the ear of God.
Yeah.
Not reciting a list. I'm not saying it's bad to have a list. If you have a bad memory like I do, you need a list. But it's easy to get plastic in our prayer time. And when we do, it's because we have become stagnant. Number three, your church attendance is ritualistic. And sometimes an obstacle to your real plans. You seldom, if ever, leave the service still pondering on what God showed you during the preaching or the song service. The truth is, most of the time, we could probably walk up to anyone in the parking lot and say, what was the message about, and probably not get a clear answer.
Lord help us.
Number four, your evangelistic efforts have dwindled to the point that you generate more reasons to not bring up Jesus than you do to bring up Jesus. We don't have that burning desire to point people to Jesus who are headed to hell. It's almost like hell is a myth. It's not a real place. No one's going there. Or we just don't care. If that's the case, you might be stagnant. Number five, you focus more on making it through the day than you do looking for opportunities to shine for Jesus. The things that bring you a little shot of happiness normally has nothing to do with spiritual matters. We've slipped. We've lost fervency. We're in trouble and don't even know it. Remember, Satan is the great deceiver. And his ultimate goal is destruction.
That's right.
But he's not going to tell us to go out there and buy a case of beer and get drunk tonight. That's not going to work. He has to do it real slow. And alcohol may not even be what he chooses to destroy you or I with.
Right.
It may be something else.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if he can get us to change direction just a little bit, he's gotten us on the right path or the wrong path. Right path in his book. So we don't know it when we get in trouble. So here's the question, what do I do? If you've ever been there, or if you're there now, it's not easy to pull out. It feels like quicksand. You're in a spot where you can't yank your foot out of that mud. I've been there before, physically speaking, where I've been in mud and I went and pulled my leg up and my shoe stayed there.
Yeah.
Y'all ever had that happen?
Yes, sir.
I've been in mud before where I've pulled my leg up or thought I did or tried to and couldn't.
Right.
I was bad stuck. That's how getting stale, stagnant, complacent is. We get stuck. We don't know how we got there, and we don't know how to get out. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, just a page back. There's another church of Ephesus. He said in verse 4 to them, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This is a similar predicament of being stagnant. This happens many times in marriage.
Amen.
For the same reason.
Yeah.
He said in verse 5, this is the solution, by the way. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Go back and remember where you were before Jesus rescued you. Where were you headed? What were you involved in? What was your level of happiness and joy at that time? Many times we forget that. Peter talks about that sometimes, and I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. You've forgotten that you were even saved.
Yeah.
You forgot that you were a sinner. That's easy for us to do. To forget. I know that. I live there daily. Let's pick up where we left off in verse 5. He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent." You know, there's only one thing to repent of, and that's sin. You don't repent of a bad habit.
Right.
You don't repent of a mistake. That's why it's important to call it what it is. If we don't call it sin, we're not going to repent. He says, repent and do the first works. What did you do the week after you got saved?
Amen.
What was your mindset? Mine was, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm not concerned about this or that or this or that anymore. That's garbage, really.
Right.
I want to see people get saved. Why aren't people talking about Jesus more often in church?
Amen.
I went to our preacher one time and said, "Preacher, we got a problem." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Nobody wants to go tell others about Jesus." He just kind of sat back in his chair and smiled. He said, "Exactly."
That's right.
How did you feel that week after you got saved? The next 2 weeks, the month, and however long it lasted before we become stagnant. Sometimes it'll last for years.
Lord.
Sometimes it'll last for a few weeks. Sometimes you'll get stagnant. You'll recognize it and you'll make things right. You'll do what he said in verse 5, repent. And then sometimes we get stuck there and stay there for a long time. That's when a lot of decisions are made that are irreversible. They affect you forever. They affect your family forever. That's a place you don't want to be.
Amen.
But he said here, go back and do the first works. What did you do the week after you got saved? You read your Bible a lot. Man, this is good stuff. If I'd have known this was here, I'd have been reading this a long time before now. And you read it with fervency and you got stuff out of it. You even talked about it to your friends. And you couldn't understand why they looked at you like that. You don't do that anymore. You don't tell other people what you learned in your Bible study. You know, we're supposed to do that. Then he said also in verse 5, he said, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We neglect the first works. We leave our first love. We become stagnant. And we don't even know it. We're in trouble. Our family's in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Those that love us, those that we love, are in trouble. Because we have become stagnant. Something has taken the place of the first works. We used to tell people about Jesus because we was concerned about them going to hell. Now we just don't care if they do.
Lord help us.
It doesn't even enter our minds. Maybe somebody else will tell them.
Lord.
Go back and do the first works. Read your Bible. By the way, if you're saying to yourself, I just don't get much from it. All those these and thous, and that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
But you know what? True motivation will only come after the action has taken, not before. If you wait to get motivated to get out of bed, you'll never get out of bed.
Right.
You have to first take action.
Yeah.
You have to roll off the bed and hit the floor on your feet, knees, back, somehow, whatever. Get up in pain and wobble over to the light switch. You've got to take action before the motivation follows. But later, an hour, 20 minutes, 30, 2 hours, however long it takes, you're finally motivated to get up, go outside, go to work, do whatever you got to do, right? It only comes after the action is first taken. What Jesus is telling us here is go back and take action to do the first works. Go study your Bible with the intent to learn something. And then share it with somebody. Go back and do the first works. The real reset button is repentance. That's when we go to God and we say, I am wrong. I've been lazy. I have let this get in my way.
Yeah.
I've let that get in my way, and it has come before me and you, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Yes.
Rebuild in me that fire I once had.
Amen.
Show me my sin. Help me to have a stronger desire to be a witness, a shining light for you. The real reset button is repentance.
Amen.
And if we don't, he will come quickly. Judgment will come. And it may not come to you personally. It might come to someone you love, like it did with King David. Like it did with Achan. Like it has done with many, many others.
That's right.
If you're stagnant, you're in trouble. And it's time to make a change. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for drawing us close to yourself. Lord, we recognize that you want us close to you worse than we want to be close to you. And many times, our want dwindles for one reason or another. And I pray that, Father, you would draw us back. Help us to repent for neglecting you and neglecting a close walk with you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Turn to page 2.